It's late afternoon, sometime after the close of our last episode. As at an airport outside the city, a black limousine stops beside a huge private plane. Now, Gus Jansen picks up the speaking tube, tells his driver...
Wait here, Sam. Mr. Weber will stay with you while I go inside the plane. Watch for me, Gordy. If I wave to you, come inside the plane.
Come into the lounge, August.
Coming right up, JT.
I'm in here.
Hey.
Oh, you like my plane, August?
It's beautiful, JT. I thought Sam brought me to the wrong part of the field.
Huh?
My new driver, Sam. Yeah, I thought this was a commercial airliner.
I'm glad you like it, August. You alone?
I left Gordy outside with Sam.
You might have brought him with you.
Let him wait. I took a lot from Gordy when I came back. Now he'll take it.
You know why I had you take it from Gordon?
Yeah. I've learned my lesson, JT.
I think you have. The big fellow and I are pleased with you.
Oh, thanks. I'm pleased with myself.
Things going well with Miss Beekman?
Well, I gave her the first driving lesson today.
Uh-huh. Is she a good pupil?
Let's put it this way. Let's say I'm a good teacher.
You are feeling good.
Yes, I am. Kate Beekman's eating out of the palm of my hand. Club's running smooth, deliveries are on time, and I'm out of the woods, JT. Or I will be when I get Suzanne Barclay.
When you do.
There's no question that I'll get her while the police are chasing themselves in circles. I've got the only key.
I'm inclined to agree with you.
How long will you be out of town?
3 weeks and a half.
JT, by the time you get back, I'll have Sue Barclay taken care of. And Kate Beekman ready for the axe. That I promise you. You going on business?
Well, there's a briefcase for you. You'll find the schedules and authorities you'll need. And there's a site draft on Corn Mercantile. Draw anything up to $100,000 for operating expenses. If you need more, you can draw on the nightclub funds in an emergency. You can check my itinerary. It's in the briefcase.
Acapulco, then San Juan, Puerto Rico, Kingston, Jamaica. Business trip, JT?
Why, you might call it that, my boy. We've capital to invest. I'm in search of foreign outlets.
Oh, foreign outlets, huh?
Yeah. Your good spirits are contagious, my boy. I've got to tell you something. Things are going well. Better than I dreamed. So, it's time to dream again, August. Time to plan. We mustn't stand still. We mustn't be content with what we have. Oh, my co-pilot is warming the engines.
I can barely hear him in here. What were you saying, JT?
August, men in our business are vulnerable. There are dangers.
Yeah, there's always the law.
And what fools call justice. All right. Let them believe in justice. I know something better. Power, August. In just a little while, we'll be so powerful, nothing can touch us. Nothing. We're almost there now. So let them believe in justice. If believing honesty is the best policy makes them sleep better, if they lie down easier at night in their belief that murder will out and crime never pays, all right, let them sleep. Let them sleep good and hard. Yeah, they'll sleep and we'll work. You're right, my boy. Everything's coming our way. Got any questions?
No, unless you want to see Gordy.
No, I don't want to see him.
Then I'll shove along. Have a good trip, JT.
I'll be comfortable. What?
There's just one thing lacking, JT. You need one of those cute hostesses to make you coffee and hold your hand. You can't have everything.
No. Look through the window, August. See who's getting out of the taxi.
You do travel first class.
Yeah. Goodbye, August.
Meanwhile, in a different part of the city, Perry Mason stops at the home of Suzanne Barclay's mother.
There's a man walking toward us, Chief.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes, sir. I'm Tex Murphy. You Mr. Mason?
Yes. This is my secretary, Miss Street.
Miss Street?
Hello.
I've heard of you, Mr. Mason.
Well, Lieutenant Halverson gave me a report on you, too.
I understand you got a job for me. A driving job.
Yes, I'll explain inside.
You mean inside here?
Yes, this is the home of Mrs. Barclay.
Well, can't you give me an idea, Mr. Mason?
We'll talk inside. I don't want to be seen outside Mrs. Barclay's house.
Hello, Mr. Mason. Miss Street. Hello, Mrs. Barclay.
Mrs. Barclay. Mrs. Barclay, this is Mr. Murphy.
How do, ma'am?
Oh, hello, Mr. Murphy.
Are we alone, Mrs. Barclay?
Yes, Mr. Mason.
Good. So that you will understand Mr. Murphy's presence, he's an expert automobile stunt driver. Lieutenant Halverson checked him through, and we know Mr. Murphy is to be trusted absolutely. Did Halverson explain any of this to you, Tex?
Oh, no, sir. All I know is the lieutenant called Dad and said he needed me up here to do a job and that I'd better get up here and see what the lieutenant wants. That's all I know.
Uh-huh. Well, Mrs. Barclay has a daughter named Suzanne. Here's her picture.
Hey, it's a right attractive young lady.
Thank you, Tex.
Suzanne ran away. She's in hiding.
How come?
Because she got mixed up with a crook. She's afraid of him. So afraid that she ran away.
Who's he?
All we know about him is that he's called Gus.
Now, we believe that this Gus is associated with a syndicate of important crooks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if we can identify Gus, we can identify the other members of the syndicate.
You could bust up the whole shebang.
When we locate Gus.
Mm-hmm. I reckon this has got something to do with Miss Suzanne.
It has. Suzanne Barclay can identify Gus.
Ah, so you've got to find her first.
Not just find her. We have to make her come forward. That'll save time. And that is where you come in.
How?
Well, Suzanne is afraid. She thinks that no one can help her. We must make her see the truth when she comes forward. She'll come to her mother's funeral.
This lady's her mother?
That's right. Now, we're going to make it look as if Mrs. Barclay is killed in an auto accident. We've arranged for publicity and so on. We believe Suzanne will come to the funeral.
It's pretty clever.
If it works.
We'll make it work.
And you want me to drive the car.
That's right. Now, you have the clothes, Mrs. Barclay?
Yes, here in the box.
Clothes?
Yes, I'll explain.
Now, what's all that?
Oh, two orange blouses and two purple skirts. They're just alike.
Yes, ma'am, I can see that.
And two purple coats with caps to match.
Yeah, I see them, too. Now, those mighty bright colors.
Well, we picked them so people would see the clothes and not the people wearing them.
Well, that little point right there kind of interests me. Who's going to wear them?
You and Mrs. Barclay. There's a duplicate set for each of you.
Slip yours on, Tex. Let's see if they fit.
No, ma'am. I'll drive that car and I'll smash it up, but I ain't going to wear no get-up like that.
Tex.
Those are girls' clothes.
Let
now.
Me, Mr. Mason.
Now, it ain't going to do no good to argue, ma'am, because I ain't going to do it.
Are you a coward, Mr. Murphy?
Coward, did you say, ma'am? I sure hate to think I was, Miss Barclay, but I sure hate to put on ladies' clothes.
You hate? Do you know what's happening to my daughter? She's being hunted by the man called Gus. He's trying to find my daughter because he wants to kill her.
Huh?
Mr. Murphy, if we don't make Suzanne come forward, Gus will find her. And when he does, he'll kill her. And you don't want to put on woman's clothes.
I'm sorry, Miss Barclay.
Save your apologies, Mr. Murphy.
No, I was only going to say I didn't understand.
You understand now, Tex?
Yes, sir, Mr. Mason. Show me how this harness works, will you, Miss Street?
What do you think will happen now? well, by all means, hear tomorrow's important and exciting development. It's...